Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Excited to be here with you this morning. Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide is live this morning. The Company of Prophetic Intercessors session is now underway. Man, it's an exciting day. I'll tell you something this morning. Can I tell you guys a secret? I want to be really transparent. I love transparency, especially when it benefits the body. Something about transparency that's just absolutely freeing, okay? I was really at 8:55 trying to figure out how to do this tomorrow and not today because I was absolutely exhausted. But I also understand that possibly the reason for some of the exhaustion is what I'm teaching you. You know, where I'm going, the direction I'm going in. You know, the way I'm tired, you know, but usually when I'm like exhausted, when I'm in that mode of tiredness, there's something outside of me trying to press me into a place to push me up against the wall. I know that I'm supposed to be here this morning because I promise you I tried so hard and I just didn't want to have to recreate a whole nother situation. But if I could have just clicked in there and changed the date, I think I was able to do that before. Today it just wasn't working. But today is the 11th day and we're going through a door today.
that the enemy is going to be really upset about. He's going to be really upset about us walking through this door. It's like you stepping in on the door without knocking. We're not knocking on any doors this morning. We're just walking in. We're just busting in. You know why? Because we own the place. How about that? Because we own the place. Good morning to those that are on the line. Hallelujah. I appreciate you being here this morning. All those that are listening from all over the world, we're thankful to be here with you. I take it as a privilege. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor for the Father to call us at this time and this place to have a discussion with us about what his desire is for the earth. You know, as I was sitting here and I was reading and just kind of going over the things that the Father was speaking, it's something about identifying the things that you need to identify, but they come from what you're learning, right? So most of the people that I've talked to throughout the course of my life, a lot of people have given me the, you know, excuse for why they don't read the Bible, for why they don't do certain things. And they say, well, I just don't understand. And my answer has always been, or my retort for that has always been, just keep reading. Why? Because at some point, you're going to begin to identify with the text that you're reading, and some things are going to begin to click. You know, you'll be able to connect the dots. And sometimes you connect in those dots is simply just a result of when you're doing the thing, or when you're at a point where you are in a position, and then you open your mouth and the Father just feels that this is a promise that he made to us. But he's going to need to do the work in us according to the power that's working in us. And if we don't turn on the power by, you know, running the wires and running the lines and all of that stuff, then when the flip is switched, there's nothing there. And so reading is very important, but there's some really important things about the scripture that I think I just want to share just a couple of things here. There's, when you begin to get understanding about the origin of things, the beginning of things, and I'm not talking about just the stories, you know, we came up in an era where the stories were, you know, like the epicenter of things. It's not just the story, but it's the meaning of things. Anybody can tell a story, but the moral of the story is what's important. So let me say it like this, because when children are watching, you know, these different fairy tales and these different things, they're simply getting the story. But the moral of the story is for a person that's mature to train them or to teach them. So it's more than just the story. It's the moral. It's the message of the story. And so when we look into the origin of things and we look at what happened, you know, in that garden, and we look and we go further ahead, we look at the murder of Cain via the hands of his brother. We go a little bit further forward and we see the wickedness of the earth and how things are absolutely compromised, and all of creation has been compromised except for this microcosm of a family in the person of Noah and his seed, you know. And the Father takes them after he makes Noah a preacher of righteousness for over 120 something years. He gives them an opportunity, because clearly there are more people that have not been tainted or touched by the culture in that moment. So he's making Noah this preacher of righteousness. And even if they have been, I know about the grace of the Father. I understand the mercy of him and the love and the compassion of him as it pertains to what he's created. Anytime it's something that he's created, anytime we're dealing with who he is and what his hands have formed, he has a direct affection for that thing. And so he'll give it an opportunity, even if it's only partially belonging to him. Like when we talk about Cain, or, you know, we look at the story of Cain, and Cain is not necessarily the complete seed of Adam. That's a whole conversation in and of itself. And if you've never heard me talk about that, I encourage you as Bereans to be good Bible readers and Bible studiers and go and look into those things, because a lot of the twins that came into the earth were of those that were originally in the earth. It was a lot of twins that were born. But I want to say this, there are things scientifically that allow a woman to carry more than one seed, you know, that if she's got DNA of two different encounters, then there could be a split. There could be some kind of, you go look that up. I'm not going to get into that at this point because that'll take me down another rabbit trail, but I've talked about it before and it is scientifically a fact that it could happen. So Cain is not necessarily of the lineage of Adam completely. Okay. He is partially humanized, but this was the first attempt of darkness to have a seed. Okay. And it was based on the conversation, or started with a conversation that the adversary had with the woman in the garden, in the promised place. Okay. That in the promised place, the adversary wanted to compromise the way of life. He wanted to destroy. He wanted to kill. He wanted to steal the peace. He wanted to kill the relationship. Okay. And this is what he does. So even though Cain was not completely of the seed of Adam, and you'll look in Genesis and look in the lineage of Adam and you won't see Cain there. Okay, I'm just giving you some more proof and giving you some more pointers to go and to look. Anytime somebody is in the lineage of, they are listed there. If they are not in the lineage, then there's something that we're missing, right? So even though he's not fully the seed of Adam, whom the Father created, there's something mixed going on with him. There's a mixture going on. The Father still gives Cain an opportunity because he is partially Adam, right? He gives him an opportunity to correct himself, to get it right. And I believe the compassion and the love of the Father for his creation in Noah's time was very indicative of what we were looking at in Cain, you know, in the Cain situation. But for 120 years, he's this preacher of righteousness. And even if it had been past the moment where things had been contaminated, I can see the working of the mercy of our God, the mercy of our Father, saying, keep on preaching till I close that door. And I promise you, till he closed that door, he was still telling them the same message. He was still giving them the same love of the Father, this heads up that the Father would give to bring you into a place so that you'll be delivered, so that you'll be free. You say, what does this have to do with deliverance? What does this have to do with the dark psychology of the 10 spies? What does this have to do? It has everything to do with those things, because the things that impact us, that compromise us internally, affect our external situations. They affect us long term. They affect the outcomes of our life. And this is what when we're talking about witchcraft and demonic possession, and we're talking about deliverance, these are these keys. If you understand some things about the word, if you understand the origin of things, then you'll understand the outcome of things and what the Father's desire is for those outcomes, how you should be positioned for those outcomes. You'll understand what your role is in those things. If you go a little bit past, just before you get to, chapter 6, Noah is in 11. If you go to 6, see this situation where they are, or the Nephilim, they're the parents of the Nephilim. These are angelic forces that are of the dark side of things, and they are standing on Mount Hermon in the earth, right? And in that place, they are looking upon the women of the sons of men, the daughters of men, they call them, and they are picking out wives for themselves. And so understand, it's a lot of conversation, a lot of different connections here in this conversation. When we're talking about wives, we're talking about they want to sleep with these women. So anytime there's copulation, there is marriage. This is what the Father deems as a marital union, as a physical union. So unbeknownst to you, you've been married so many times you didn't even know that you've been married. Even if you feel like you're unmarried or have never been married, you have been married, because anytime you came to a place where you were physically interacting with someone, that was a form of union, that was marriage. That's the most spiritual union that could take place before you, you know, they're looking at the thing as the altar, as the spiritual union. That ain't the spiritual union. It's when that couple comes together and they unite as one, that they become one. And that's the spiritual union that the Father created. So it said that they begin to take wives for themselves. And this was a dastardly deed of darkness, because the Father, the punishment for this deed was as of such that they desired to long for some form of repentance, because it was a man, the repercussions of this kind of level of thing, it was something that even the demons don't want to face. Okay. One of the things that they did not want to face is never being in the presence. Now, they were kicked out of the third heaven, but you can see throughout scripture, there are some places where you see that, you know, the devil's roaming, and even where the sons of Yah come before him. And then it says, and Satan came also. These things will give you an indication that there was still some interaction, even after he'd been banished from his former position, okay, from his first estate. It doesn't mean that they were not able to communicate or have access to, because we see it in the life of Job as well, where there's a conversation there where the enemy is roaming and he's looking and he's saying, hey, you know, you got a hedge on Job. I can't touch him. I can't get to him. But there came a point where there was no more access, okay? No more access in that realm. And so when we deal with the accuser, the brethren, he accuses for a season, but there's a season where he's no longer allowed to enter into the courts. That's a whole nother message in of itself as well. But I want you to understand that your biggest accuser today is you. The biggest accuser of you is you in this season. And whatever is being spoken to you, you know what I'm saying? If there is the conversation that happens externally before it happens internally. So we look at the master in the wilderness place. His adversary is speaking, you know, attempting to speak to him, attempting to make him go in some directions. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's walked the walk that we're walking. So he understands what it means for the adversary to be having a conversation that's going to take you in a direction, okay? And so he understands that knowing the word is important. And I want to share just a couple of things that the Father said to me this morning. And that was this way of winning against darkness. He said, we're winning with what's written. Okay. But not just, you know, when you pick up your Bible and you've got what's written, you've got the word there. Okay. You've got the logos word there. But there is a rhema, and then there is that which is written on a tablet of your heart, which is the law, the rule, the statutes that the Father governs you by, that he governs the sons by. And there are some things that are variants in that. There are things that are all the same concerning us, but there are things that are variants. There are things that he'll discuss with me that he may not discuss with, you know, with you. Some things that he'll discuss with you that he may not discuss with me directly, but I may come and share those things just out of my experience, right? So if he tells me I can't drink coffee, I can't come and say that this is now a doctrine that no believers are to drink coffee. That was just specifically for me, but I'm sharing my experience so that one will understand that he speaks in this way and that there are things that he may say to you that he may allow other people to do. Okay. So, but the conversation that I want to have with you is that this winning with what's written, whether it's the word, what's written on a tablet of your heart, is not just from quoting, but from toting it or carrying it, okay? Just like Mary carried the word. She wasn't quoting a word. She was carrying it, okay? It's the same thing with how the master worked in the earth. He wasn't quoting scripture verbatim. He wasn't saying, you know, he wasn't trying to give verse by verse, you know, play by play like that. He used parables when he dealt with the masses, when he dealt with the multitudes, okay? And so it wasn't what he was quoting, but what he was toting that was the power behind him. So when he would go in these different regions and he would speak and he would say these things and he would have conversations, you know, people would come and they would see him. They would come to the house. They would come and follow him throughout wherever he was walking or going to, the cities that he was going to, and it would be multitudes of people. It wasn't because of just what he was quoting, but what he was toting, because what he was toting was manifest before them. This is why he would come to the conclusion and share with many of them that you're just following me because of what I'm carrying. You're just following me because of what I provide for you. But there's really no connection. There's really no relationship beyond that. You just want what I have. So he called it the fish and the loaves. It's the fish and the loaves syndrome. If I wasn't giving y'all fish and loaves, if I wasn't performing on this level, you would not follow me, right? You're not following me for the deep mystery. You're not following me to have an understanding of the Father. You're following me because of what you want from me, right? So it's not just from the quoting, but the toting. Being a carrier, and this is what Hebrews discusses when it talks about the unshakable kingdom that we're carrying, okay? So let's go back to the fact that these verses, when you look throughout the scripture, if you read the word and you're looking throughout the scripture, then everything that we're talking about here today is in conjunction with what you can look at things from the light of the word. Okay, you can see what the Father is really saying from what he desires and from what, you know, that pathway that's been laying. When you see that pathway, you can look back and say, oh, that was this over here, and wow, that was that over there. We've been dealing with demonic activity forever. It's never been different. It's just that we don't see it as that. We don't have to do some damage in the kingdom of darkness that the Father has called us to destroy the works of the enemy, even as Master said, so as I was in the world, so are you. I destroyed the works of the enemy. This was my purpose. The purpose of my person was to destroy how he moved, how he worked, to finalize and to finish some things that the Father established, and this is what he's called us to. So our key today is Isaiah 62:10. We're going to look at that, and I'm going to share. But I've made these things only an hour because I want you to be able to go back and to look at these things and identify what the Father is saying to us and be able to begin to actualize it. Good morning, Famous. No, Granny doesn't want any cookies. Thank you. What are you doing up? Hallelujah. Isaiah 62:10. Let's look at that. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Illuminate us this morning by your power, by your spirit. Father, allow the power that you put in us to be at work in us so that the exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or think is absolutely in operation in our lives and in the lives of those around us because of what we're carrying. We thank for making us carriers, not toters, but carriers. We're not just walking around trying to prove everything that we have, but just becoming what you called us to be. And because of becoming, trying to impress, then the thing that you desire that's working in us is addressing the things outside of us, even when we're not communicating. We thank you this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. Allow your power, your spirit, to reveal your heart to us concerning these matters. Thank you for this morning, for this day, for this fresh day, Father, for daily bread. Thank you for the sustenance of today and the wisdom to be able to not only consume it, but to, the wisdom also to identify how we need to move as a result of what we've eaten. Thank you this morning that you have given us to know things and not just assume it or guess it, but that even, Father, you're not requiring from us to have every I dotted and every T crossed because it's you that's at work in us. It's you that's doing the work. All we need to do is comply. All we need to do is agree with the work that's going to be done as one that would sign a contract for a contractor to build or to construct or to add on. Add to us as the construction guy would add on to a house today. Begin to build out on us this morning. We sign on the dotted line this morning to say we want to be your building. We want to be the building that you are adding to in this moment. And so we're just thankful for the add-ons, for the additions. We thank you this morning for the space that you're making, space that you're making in us, the capacity that you're giving us to do the work and to identify and to understand that this is the foundational. These are foundational principles. These are the foundations of what you established in the earth originally for mankind. Hallelujah. Was to make us rulers. We don't have to beg darkness to leave. We don't have to consider whether it will or it won't. We know that if you've given us the authority and the dominion, then we're not beggars, we're rulers. So we speak from the ruling place this morning, that everything that is of darkness that's in our environment, everything that is of darkness in those that are around us, those places that the enemy has found space and place, those places that there have been gaps and breaches, this morning by your word being released and us receiving of that word, you're giving us the authority, the tools that we need in that authority to utilize these tools to repair the broken places and to mend and to close those spaces where wickedness has been allowed to come in and try to set up camp. We thank you this morning for your authority and for your power and for the Son that you sent to give us an example of how to walk in these suits that you gave us. Hallelujah. Your word is spirit and life this morning. And we receive both of your spirit and of the Zoe life that you provide to every son. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. And we declare it so. Hallelujah. Good morning to those that are on the line. Come on, you guys, open up your line this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Good morning, everybody. Blessings.
Good morning, Elder. Blessings to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank
Good
you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Prophet. How are you?
Great.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 62. I want to read verse 10, but I want to go back and read the entirety of this passage because I believe it's a key for us today in our conversation. So verse 10 says, go through the gates. I think this is so, man, this is so yeah to me. This is so him. It's the 11th. It's the 11th, and then your number again, Prophet, comes up all 11s today. When I saw it come up, I just was tickled. I was like, wow, okay, that's funny. Those openings, those gates, those doors, you know. He said, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stone. Lift up a standard for the people. I really want you to kind of focus in on those stones because that's the thing that the enemy is using to barricade people. It's also the thing that he's using to block the way. And so the Father's desire for us as sons is to begin to remove the stones, remove these things that are blocking the path. And that's what deliverance is all about. It's about removing the stones. It's about removing the thing that is blocking the pathway, you know, for the freedom of the people. Let's go back up to verse 1. It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yah shall name, shall also be crowned of glory in the hand of Yah, the royal diadem in the hand of your God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be Hephzibah. And thy land Beulah, for Yah delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon the wall. This is good, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of Yah, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Yah have sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemy. And if you know anything about this, you understand that there were some oppressions that happened with the children of Israel throughout their being, their existence. And often when they were moved into these captive places because of their idolatry, because of their sin, because of their rebellion, then there were nations that kind of came in and overrode them. This is where Gideon is called. He's the judges. In the book of Judges, you go there and through the book of Judges, you see how the father kept sustaining them. After that judge would die, and they would go right back to their natural foolishness, and then would raise somebody else up. It's the love for me. It's the compassion for me. It's that faithfulness. It's that dedication to the relationship for me that I just can't get over concerning the father. You know, but Gideon was called at this time. At the time that he was called, and there was an overrunning. The nation of that time would not even allow them to have anything. Anything that they had, that nation would take it from them. Whether it was their cattle, it was their crops, whatever it was. And the father called them a new judge in the way of Gideon, and Gideon couldn't believe it. But Gideon, the first thing that Gideon had to do was cast down the altars of darkness. Overthrow darkness was what he was called to do. And we don't look at it from the place of deliverance, but this is what it was about. This is what the judges were about. They were positioned to identify and to follow the instructions, the divine instructions of the Father, to bring peace to the nation. And this is the same concept of casting out a devil, the exact same concept. And when he says here that, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. In other words, they're not going to just run over you anymore. And the sons of the strangers shall not drink your wine. They're not going to just take from you the thing that I've been looking on, the thing that I've been watering, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise Yah. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. He's talking about a position here. He's talking about a posture here. Now, of course, if you cast the devil, you can't have the hands. You can't cast that word carrying. Come on now. Before that, master became something. And when he became peace, he was able because he was peace, not because he just had authority over it. See, the thing that you have authority over is because you become the authority, not just because you're speaking it, but because you become something that overrides or overthrows, okay? And the master was able to stand on the bow of that ship and say, peace be still, because he was peace. He had become that. That's how he operated. That's who he was, okay? So here it says here, and you shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. This describes a place that we must be in a level of relationship that we must come to. Right? Then it says, go through the gates. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, Yah hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. Behold, thy salvation cometh. This is all talking about deliverance. Your deliverance, your salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Listen. When we're in covenant with him, then his work is with him. So whatever is with him is with us, and his work before him. In other words, it's not only with him, but when it's with him, it comes out of him. When it's with us, it comes out of us. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of Yah, and thou shalt be called out, a city not forsaken. Do you know when you operate in the way that the Father has ordained you to operate, you're going to be sought out? This is why the master was sought after. Sick were coming to him. Why? Because he was removing the stones. He was lifting up a standard for the people. He was giving them another standard. I know you've been sick. I know you've been possessed. I know you've been poor. I know you've been all of these things, confused. But the standard that I'm lifting is that of holiness. And holiness declares that you, the poor says they're rich. The weak say they are strong. You know, the lame say, I can walk. Listen, he lifted up a standard. And this is why they would be sought out, a city not forsaken. Even as the master was sought out, this is what his desire had always been, for his sons to be sought out because of what we are carrying, you know, because of what we're carrying. And it's not just in everything that we say, but it's in how we move. It's in how we move. I'm going to open up the line for a moment. You guys share really quickly. I'm going to be back in to some of the notes you gave me today. Hallelujah.
Well, the part way back in the beginning when you was talking that stood out to me is about the just keep reading. And I just recently told somebody that myself. And I know for me when I, a lot of things I've read, I recall about a year, maybe 2 years ago, reading through the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it I remember? Not a lot of it. But as you mm-hmm. said, a lot of times in speaking and through conversation, and even sometimes, like if I go and hear somebody preach or whatever the case may be, or listening to something, something stands out that I've read and heard in my hearing and reading. I don't always just read. Sometimes I put it on and I listen and I follow along with my Bible. So I just think that's a good point that was made, that regardless if you think like myself, didn't understand things, just continue reading, because somewhere along the way, and from my own experience, God gives you clarity of what you read. And it might come at a time you don't even you know, expect it to happen.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's what I thought what you said, or part of what you said. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And
when
I
you
also
were talking
like
about
where it says go through. A lot of times in our we don't know what to do, but if we just keep pushing and let him lead us. When you look back, like sometimes what they say, when you look back over your life, what you came through. Well, he brought us through, and if he brought us through it then, I believe he's going to keep on bringing us through even things to come. So, yeah.
Yes, yes. When you were talking, I was hearing the phrase, your reading is your feeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's good.
You don't really know what you're eating is, what all it's going to do, but you're eating it. You know?
Yes.
At some point, you become more intelligent about how you eat because you do begin to realize that it's affecting you. But when you have that desire or, you know, that urge to eat something, you're not thinking about what it's, you know, you're not trying to understand all of the inner workings of how it's affecting you and all of that. You just pick it up and you begin to eat it, you know? So when we're consuming the word, we're not looking to understand all the dynamics of how it's going to impact us, where it's going to cut us and all that. We just know that we need to eat it because this is what's good for us. You know, this is what he gave us to eat. And so just like he gave to the children of Israel, you know, this thing that they call manna, this food, this substance that he was releasing, they named it manna because their question was, what is it? It wasn't like anything else that, you know, they had eaten before. They understood leeks and watermelon and, you know, they understood all of those things. But what is this? And when I think about that reading is feeding, you know, what we consume mattering so much because we don't know all the impact, but we know we have to eat in order for impact to take place on any level. Whatever we're consuming is going to impact us in some ways, shapes or forms. And so when I'm thinking about them calling it or saying what is it, you know, sometimes we use the term manna like it's a good thing, but I think they were being a little more sarcastic than it was a good thing, because at the end of the day they really hated that he had given them. You know, to question what we're eating could be a hindrance or a blockage or a stone that's in our way. You know what I mean? So it's just best to just consume what he puts before us and then wait for digestion, wait for it to impact us. We know that it's good, you know, and because we know that it's good, then the outcomes are going to be good. You know, good incomes produce good outcomes. And so because we know that much, we can go ahead and enjoy and feast on the word. Whether we understand every detail or not, it's the reading that matters. You know, and I say this often, it's like going back to school. When you think about your school days, they gave you the books that they gave you, your textbooks, right? Those textbooks were not, when they gave them to you, they didn't expect you to understand everything. They didn't expect you to have an understanding because you...
You're hitting on what I was going to say. The reading is one thing, but then as you read, and certain things may stand out, so you jot it down.
Yeah.
And then even though, like for instance, I've read the whole Bible through, but things that stood out, jotting them down, and even what you speaking, I'm jotting things down. Then you go back and you look at those things and you look up things, you find out this, you find out that. And then what's that scripture? Study to show yourself approved. So then that's when you're studying the first time you read it, and then you go back and certain things may stand out. And then you go back again and you study those things. So
that's right. That's right. They give you that text. They don't expect you. They handed it to you to understand everything that they just handed you.
That's
but they're
going to
give you an assignment. Hello. And school is just another form of discipleship, right? It's why you're a disciple. It's why you go to school, because you're going to be given the lesson. You know, they're going to give you whatever the assignment is. And if the assignment is reading three chapters, and then when you're reading those three chapters, you're jotting down what you don't understand. I was reading a book the other day, and there were words in there I had never seen before. I love that. Oh, I love words. I mean, like, I use a lot of words all the time. But I had never seen those words, and that was so exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Like, as soon as I saw them, I was like, ooh, let me find out what that is right there. Let me jot that down. Yeah, no frustration. I don't know what that means, you know. Let me jot it down. I'm going to go back and look at that. And in context, it made sense. But I wanted to make sure that I wasn't assuming the meaning of the word. I wanted to know what it meant. And for so long, we've assumed so many things versus getting the understanding and the knowledge of it, just because all we had to do was just ask. All we had to do, and you know, we could never use the excuse, well, what about people that don't know? Oh, everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know. The Father is not so unrighteous. You understand what I'm saying? He would never be so unrighteous not to give everybody, every man, this is his crown creation, an opportunity to identify him, to know him, to see him. You understand what I'm saying? It's all about a choice at that point. It becomes a choice. So do we want to go this far? You see, it's a lot of people. This is where people fall off, you know. Right before we go into dealing with demonic spirits, right before, you know, all of the, this is the fall off. It's the same thing with the master. As soon as he started talking about other things that people were confused about, they're like, uh-oh, he done lost it. He done went in the left field. We leaving. And then he looks at the disciples, which is his core, and say, y'all leaving too? Well, these were other disciples, but it was a, you know, these are the same disciples that he sent out two by two. And they were once excited about, you know, even the demons are subject to us and your authority, right? And as soon as he says something new, you know, to them that they don't understand, oh, they fold. They folding. They running. They tuck tail and they running, because now you're saying something completely against what the scripture says. You know, the master said specifically, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. So they thought, you know, cannibalism. They thought something else. And he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. If they had just asked me, then I could explain it to them, but they didn't want to get an explanation. They just wanted to assume a position. So in assuming a position, you at a disposition, you know. And it's crazy because we live in a world where so many things have been taught, you know, so many doctrines have gone forth about demonology and witchcraft and all those things. So we have all these different concepts from movies. We have all these concepts from the Catholic Church. Now, there are a lot of things you can learn from the movies, because even those that put things out, they'll share that there are things that are shared that are facts, but you got to get to the truth of the matter. You know what I mean? There are some things that are facts, but you have to get to the truth. But from between the movies and religion and the Catholic Church and all of that, there are a lot of little things that we have identified with that are just assumptions and not directions or instructions that come from the Father to give us the success of the freedom that he's calling us to. You know, when we look at the Catholic Church, there's a lot of exorcism. Now, the word exorcism means to exorcise, to cause a thing to leave. But that, you know, just because the word means something specific, doesn't mean that the Father called us to do. We go through the rituals that they go through. They have a whole book of prayers. They have a whole book separate from the Bible, book of prayer. They hold this cross with pastor on it, right? And they throw in holy water and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And it's like, this is what got the sons of Sceva jacked up. So you don't go into this situation on your own assignment or with your own understanding. Now, you may go in ignorant and he feel you. I have listened to I love Lester Summerall, his teachings, and I was listening to some of the things that he was teaching about, and some of those things were so, I was identifying with some of the things he was speaking, but it was a funny story that he told about when he first came into his ministry, you know, when he first began to travel and do the thing that he believed the Father was telling him to do. He just wanted to be a good evangelist, you know, just a, you know, a good old boy like everybody else. You know, you come in, you tell these lies about, you know, how good all the people are and how sweet everybody looks and all of that, and then you go ahead and give your message and you go your way. But that didn't happen for him. You know, he came into a situation where this little girl, one of his first encounters was this little girl who was on, came to the front and was slithering across the front of the sanctuary and green stuff coming out of her mouth, right? I understand this Pentecostal boy who has, you know, he had some conversations. He's heard some conversations about the Holy Spirit, but who teaches about devils and casting out devils? That's not something that we generally learn in church. You know, just like I didn't learn that people was crazy, I didn't learn how to cast out devils in church. That's something that came by experience, okay? And it's the same thing that he was saying. He was like, I ain't have a clue. Nobody had taught me this. He said, but here's the thing, and I want to say this because this is really important. The Father never makes us do anything. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples. The Holy Spirit is he's never a push. He's not a pushy power, okay? He's not pushing into a corner saying, you got to do this, okay? But there will be good reason for you to assume a certain position, okay? So I'll give you an example. A friend of mine's computer went down. And the computer went down, and it's an issue because they work with this computer and they do all that they do with their computer. And so the whole system shut down, and they were trying to upgrade to another iOS or operating system. And in trying to upgrade to that operating system, the whole computer shut down. And so they were trying to go back and forth with, okay, well, I got to put the old system back on it, do this, reboot it, do this and that and the other, and then try to trick it and then create the other partition to bring the other system in, and then it'll, you know, show up and then I can get rid of the other. Okay, so all of these things going on, right? At the end of the day, the whole thing went down. It wouldn't even accept the password. And there was a phrase that they said that I was like, this is it. This is the thing that we don't often understand, that everything that happens in life, we can identify how the Father is moving and what he's saying and what he wants to do through just the simple things in life. We can get messages and lessons that take us into this successful place that the Father's called us into, right? They said, it's forcing me to upgrade. Now, understand, the system is forcing me to upgrade. Now, understand this. You don't have to upgrade. You can stay right where you at, But guess what? It's a whole lot of stuff that won't work on your operating system. You can choose to stay in the place that you're at. You know what? I don't really want to know about casting out devils. I don't really want to know about demonology and all of those kind of things. I don't really want to know about that. And you'll just stay right where you've been in those cycles and those systems that you've been in. But when you realize you're not a beggar, you're a ruler, then that changes the game. And you don't have a problem with change because you realize that this change is calling you to a higher place. It's calling you to a deeper place, okay? It's calling you to a depth and a height that you've never been to before. And there's something exciting in relationships about depths and heights, identifying new things and all of these things in the relationship. It just makes the relationship so much more exciting. There's always something new to learn. There's always something more to realize. There's always something more to love about the person that you love. And so this is what the Father's desire is for the sons in this season, that we would come into this love relationship, that we would understand our rightful place, our rightful position, as it was in the garden, where he put the man in the garden, not because it was a perfect world, the environment was perfect, and he was commanded to dress it and keep it, to cultivate it and to protect it, but he knew that in the grand scheme of things, there were things that could interrupt or compromise the environment. This is why he gave the man the authority that he gave. This is why he gave them dominion. This is why he told them what they possessed. This is why he gave them all the things that he gave them and told them, you're the ruler over this. Okay, and not only do I need you to rule over it here, but I need you to allow your rulership, your authority to spread outside of this dominion, this realm that I've created. I need it to spread outside of this and just cover the face of the earth. It's a work that you have to do. So I deem that we're not going to have time to go into all of the details because it's already 8:52, but we said a lot of what he said today about moving the stones and, you know, about upgrading. But here's the thing. I named this, I'm looking for the title of this, today's conversation. And we'll go back to some of this, but I need to, there was a specific title and I don't see it in the, I'll have to open up another window to get to it. I have to make sure that I also put it in the episode info because it doesn't show up here. Let me open up another link and see if I can open it without it doing what it's, you know, trying to do. Okay. I don't see it. Why don't I see it? Do you guys see it on your end? The subtitle of today? Because I don't see it on this end at all. That's odd. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Yeah. The short pitch. Okay. Going in and out.
You're going. But because I'm on the phone part today, let me look up online.
I got it.
I'm on the phone.
So. Okay. That's fine. I got it now. I think I added it. Well, what he talked to me about was darkness. Hold on. I just had it, and I did something to it. The short pitch of the show is darkness, doors, and devils. And what I really wanted to talk about, I'll spend the last few minutes talking about this, the Boogeyman Chronicles and the original defeat of darkness. This is really important because one of the things that the beginning of the lie for us was this. Hold on, let me save this, and then I'll go back out. I'm going to share this really quickly. I'm going to close that window. It's there now. Okay.
Sentences, yes.
Okay. I just added it to the room. Okay. I want to talk about that for a moment because that's the lie that made us blind to some things. The lie that made us blind was the fact that there is no boogeyman. Now, you know, there's this conversation about aliens and UFOs, right? Well, what people are really seeing are not what people consider aliens, but they are demonic spirits. They are supernatural beings, okay? But notice that over the course of centuries, people have seen this, right? And over the course of your time being alive, how many times, including yourself, have you considered a boogeyman? Dresser. You may have said it yourself. And somebody said to you, there's no such thing as a boogeyman. That was the cop-out because they didn't want to deal with the boogeyman or had no ability to address it. They just wanted to denounce it, you know, or to act like it doesn't exist. But for centuries, for ages, children have been dealing with this same boogeyman. Are y'all aware of this? You've heard them say it from generation to generation, and people have denied it. Not understanding that that first introduction was the adversary's attempt to scare you into submission, to scare you into a place. And because someone came and said it doesn't exist, then it was that lie blinded you to supernatural things. It blinded you to the reality that there is a force of darkness, that there is forces of darkness that exist. And they do address, they do desire to have communication, they do desire to instill fear and terror and all kinds of different things, servitude, all kinds of things that these spirits desire. The boogeyman is just one of the first lines of defense, and he knows that if he shows up and the parents just say it doesn't exist, then he has access because he presents himself. They present themselves in different ways for different purposes, right? Here's what the word says in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor, right? That you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. You're going to stand against these wiles, against the arrows, against the darts. In other words, there is something going on, and the only way that you're going to be able to withstand or to stand in that place where something is going on is if you are fully clothed. That means you have the information that you need. You have the garments that you need to wear so that you are protected, not mentally protected from it being a reality, but physically protected from all of its manifestations. Because we're dealing with persons without bodies, evil rulers of an unseen world. These satanic beings they have a strength. Just like those giants in the land had a strength. But what did the Father say? He said, I've already given them into your hands. There's no fear concerning demonic forces. I love what Lester Sumrall said. He said, before I knew it, he said, I was trying to just get up there and say my little piece. And before I knew it, I had yelled out, come out of her. See, it's the desire to want to do a thing. The Holy Spirit didn't back him into a corner. The Father didn't make him say that. But his desire to do the will of Yah positioned him to be an instrument. And that's all you need to be. Listen, we're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to deal with this some more. Y'all go back and listen. Go back and pay attention. We're at the end of the road here. But I want you to understand, your purpose is to pull down the strongholds, these powers that have been reinforced and fortified to keep captives connected and bound, to keep the stones in the way of the people. And one of the major conversations that the master had when he was in the earth was fear not. Fear not. He says, soon you will crush Satan under your feet. Fear not. You got to understand you're in a winning position and you're winning with what's written. We love you. Peace to your house. We'll be back tomorrow to talk some more about these things. I think it's going to really put us in the right position to see and overthrow darkness. We'll be facing. Peace, y'all. The bottom of me thing is a thing.